Matthew Baker is joining us. A major book using Te Papa's rich taonga Māori history and art collections to tell the stories of the New Zealand wars through 500 objects has been released. The authors of Te Ato Tū, The Shadow of Tūmatawenga, the New Zealand wars collection of Te Papa, says it's hoped the book's going to contribute to a better understanding of why the wars occurred and how their legacy of conflict endures. Joining us to speak of the book is Matthew Baker. He's the curator of Mātauranga Māori at Te Papa and is one of the authors. Matthew, tēnā koe, ko dai o tēnei.
Kia ora, dai o.
Good to talk with you. Kia ora, dai o. Good to talk with you. Matthew, you're on your way to work by the sound of things?
I am. I'm driving at the moment, but that's fine.
Okay, to buy. Good talking with you. Well, look, the book was released a week ago, and some might express some surprise at how it's been put together, or perhaps more importantly, why. So let's start there. Why did you and your colleagues feel this was timely?
It really emerged out of a smaller exhibition that we did at Te Papa about 2018, which was in recognition of Te Rā Maumahara. And in doing that particular exhibition, we realised that there was a much larger body of work that needed to be done. And so coming out of that experience, we worked with the Papa Press, canvassed our collections, did an audit to the best of our ability at the time, and came up with this group of taonga that we thought would be a great representation for a publication.
We have recently, or over the last couple of years anyway, had that great thick tome, The New Zealand Wars by Vincent O'Malley. So we're getting more feedback on the reality of what our people endured during that period. But this collection of taonga, each of them will have a rich story. How satisfying was it to bring these taonga to life with the kōrero associated with them?
Oh, it was hugely satisfying for all of us, and quite challenging too at the same time. I mean, at any point in your role as a curator where you're able to tell stories through taonga, especially where you're able to make connections between taonga and uri whakaheke, it's an incredibly rewarding experience. So the opportunity to present this collection of taonga in this particular book, and at this time, I think, was really rewarding, and I think we're all really very, very grateful for the opportunity to do it.
How difficult was it to identify the provenance of the articles featured in the book, but also to get the kōrero, to identify where they're from and how they came to be in Te Papa's collection, but also the rich kōrero around each of the those items on show? What were some of the challenges for you, Matthew?
Well, I think the first challenge for us was to actually understand what we had in the collections. It's something that had never been properly done previously. And just that exercise of surveying the collections broadly across several areas and trying to have a much fuller understanding of what it is in our collections that relate to the stories of the New Zealand wars. And that was a pretty large body of work in itself. And then we had to take what we found and conduct some central research around that and sort of lay the foundation for the publication. But beyond that, we had to reach out to whānau and hapū and iwi and engage with them about the stories that we were starting to put together and test them with our UB partners.
It sounds like there's a lot of aroha that's been put in here. I guess sometimes you could be forgiven for not knowing all the taonga in the collection. Of course, Te Papa, we have some front of house, but there's a lot of stuff in the in the back rooms, literally. Could you share a couple of examples of special things that you found or wanted to comment on with your contribution, just as an example of for our listeners of how you took a piece and then was able to bring it to life with kupu and accompanying words?
sure. I mean, there's so many taonga that have wonderful stories to tell. It's really hard to pick out just one or two, but I mean, something that comes to mind for me, and it is the flag pumuka and the hoiroa te rau harakeke that belonged to Mohi Tawhai of Te Mā Hurihuri, and Hōni Mohi Tawhai, his son, after him. And I think the reason that they come to mind for me is because they tell incredibly powerful stories about what was happening at the time. And in the instance of the hoiroa, it was originally owned or possessed by Mohi Tawhai, and in time was inherited by his son. But his son presented it with a range of other taonga to the Reverend William Rouse, who with his family had lived among Te Mā Hurihuri at Waimaa for 15 years. 15 years. The whole family grew up speaking Māori there, and when it was time for them to leave the mission, Te Mā Hurihuri sat in tangi with them for 3 days, mourning their departure, or their inherent departure. And it was at that time that they showered gifts upon this whānau. Now that, in time, was given to the museum. And we were able to sort of unpack that story and represent it for readers of the book. But one of the interesting things that we feature with that particular taonga is a whakapapa that was constructed by Hōne Mohi Tawhai, who was a member of parliament for Te Paitukarau. And he wrote a damning satirical whakapapa that illustrated how the machinery of colonisation had disenfranchised Māori, and it's really a snapshot of the Māori condition at the time. And as I recall, the whakapapa was at least recorded, if not written by Mohi, about 1894, and that was about the same time that he died, from memory. So it's a really, really powerful whakapaparanga of that experience of Māori at that time. And you could, honestly, I think everyone should read that. You could conduct treaty workshops for the nation for the next 25 years on that whakapapa alone. It's extraordinary.
Thank you, Matu. The Puka Puka has been released, and it's timely too. The Taranaki Wars, actually, the anniversary, I think, has just been recently as well. And for many years, we referred to them as the Waikato Wars, now I guess more commonly referred to as the New Zealand Wars. And it is reassuring to know that our young people are learning more about the reality of that period than any generation previously. But what might you say of pieces contained here that reflect on that period from a Taranaki perspective, Matthew?
Well, we talk about the Taranaki War in the book. And so I would just really encourage our Māori audience to read it. In fact, I'd encourage everyone to read it. One of the interesting things about the book, though, for me, is the way that it's been put together. It's the format of the book. Unlike reading a really dense history of the New Zealand Wars, Ngā Pakanga, there's an opportunity to you could open the book at any point and read a single story or a single chapter in a few minutes to 15 minutes. And so it makes the book incredibly accessible to the broadest possible audience. And I think that's really helpful in terms of overcoming some of those. So those barriers are some people that don't want to sit down and read a 500-page book from cover to cover to understand the history of something and take away a lesson or an understanding. And the book, although there are several contributions from us, the four editors that were involved in creating the book, there are 10 Māori writers that we invited to contribute essays to the book. And there are some other curators from Te Papa that also wrote entries for the book. So there's a wonderful range of voices, a wonderful range of stories, of taonga, connections to whānau, It's a really rich and engaging book, and I really hope it finds its audience.
Tinakwe, what's been the sort of feedback from those who have picked up a copy so far?
Well, it's early days, Dale, but the feedback so far is pretty good. Very positive, I would want to say.
Tinakwe, it's not too academic. Sometimes pukapuka of this type can be quite academically focused and morphing out of people's academic studies. Was it written in a way that connects the dots for all who picked the book up from your sort of perspective, Matthew?
I believe so. I believe we tried to write stories and narratives that could engage with people. That, you know, for some of the work that I've written out, I really wanted to elicit an emotive response from readers, or want them to really engage with the tūpuna, or the people that are involved in these stories, rather than just see them as abstract characters in some war scene. And so, yeah, we wrote it with heart. But, I mean, there are a lot of writers contributing to this. Every writer has their own voice, has their own tone. So every essay, every entry is going to read a little bit differently. But for my part, I definitely wanted to try and achieve that. And I guess in time, people will let me know if I was successful or not.
Yeah, congratulations. I know these things take a long time and a lot of effort. So hats off to all contributors. Mate, I know that a copy of the book's going to be given to all the libraries in the country, all our schools and Kura for their libraries as well. That's a nice move.
Well, actually, pardon me, but the Papa Foundation has funded a free copy to every high school in the country, and every Kura that wants one, and I say that because it's Aro Pākehā book, so there may be some Kura that choose not to, but for every Kura that wants a copy of this book free in their library, they will be sent one. And we just think that's absolutely fantastic. In fact, when Fran Wild announced that, the chairman of the Papa Board, announced that at the Pōkiri Whakatau, there was a round of applause from iwi. It was amazing. It was wonderful.
Well, I look forward to seeing how people enjoy it, and perhaps even in the Occams of 25 or 24. So, we'll wait and see how it all goes. Thank you, Matthew. Thanks for all the maki you put into this one, brother.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Dale.
And lovely talking with you, man. Thanks very much.
You got it.
Kia ora, okay. Watu. You're with 603.